All right, we have multiple pressing stories to get to. Stories that include the decision desk now calling all remaining swing states. Ladies and gentlemen, it is official. The race for president is now over. CNN, MSNBC, they can delay as long as they want, but Decision Desk HQ has called it. Also, major change coming to California as the votes continue to be counted in the Golden State. It's becoming clear, though, that voters have rejected Gavin Newsom and their Uber progressive government, ousting the radical district attorneys that were put in there years ago by the Soros family, and substantial victories across the state for Republicans. Also, just one day after being elected, Donald Trump is getting down to business, already announcing his first cabinet picks, reportedly making steps to end the Ukraine war, and already solving the invasion at our southern border. Wait till you hear about this. And Democrats and the establishment Republicans are losing their freaking minds. We have the details and more stories from around the country. But before we get started, thank you for liking and sharing these videos. It really helps out the channel. And consider subscribing so you don't miss these regular updates. So finally, after three full days, Decision Desk HQ has called the remaining states. Look at this, 312 electoral votes for Donald Trump to Harris's 226. And look at the popular vote now. Look at the split since yesterday. Trump won by more than 5 million votes. What this means is Donald Trump is the most popular president and politician we've seen in modern political history, at least since Reagan. And if we zoom in on the blue bastion of California, something you're not hearing much about is the epic spanking that California Governor Gavin Newsom received on Tuesday night. So look, I'll be honest right off the bat, I have a soft spot for California. I have a bias. I've spent a lot of time in California, living in NorCal for a while, in Humboldt County, Del Norte County, some of the most amazing country you'll see. Wild, wild country up there in Northern California. I personally love it. The Lost Coast, the Redwoods, Sierra Nevadas, national forest after national forest. If you like that kind of thing, that's the place for you. It's jaw-droppingly beautiful, but even with all of that beauty and all the benefits that go along with it, I mean, I still won't live there full-time. I won't buy property there. I've wanted to, but I've resisted. California is the definition of big government run amok. It's awful. You know this. It's why people are fleeing the state, been fleeing the state. The government's sticking their nose into everything you do, treating you like a child, like they own you. You can't even buy flavored vapes there anymore or flavored Zins. Want coffee-flavored Zins? Sorry. Drive 2 hours to the reservation. You want to buy these? You can't. It's insanity. Well, after years of this nonsense, the people of California appear to have had enough. Watch this.
Hear about this? Los Angeles has voted to oust far-left DA George Gascon, electing Nathan Hochman with 61% of the vote.
California also passed Prop 36, making shoplifting and theft a felony for repeat offenders and increasing penalties on drug charges.
Joining us right now is the winner, Los Angeles County District Attorney-elect Nathan Hochman. Nathan, America is glad you won. What is the message we get from your overwhelming election? We should get from it.
So the message is that the voters of LA County rejected extreme pro-criminal policies. Now, Gascon had, the current DA, Gascon, had brought in about 4 years ago, where he said that certain crimes and certain criminals will not be prosecuted, notwithstanding the facts of the law. And I rejected those decarceration policies. I also rejected the mass incarceration policies. And I came down in the middle, and I called the hard work middle, because you got to do the work to make sure that each individual case is being considered individually.
Now, look, the votes are still being counted there. California, they take weeks to count the votes. It's a real problem, but we do know that Californians have voted yes on Prop 36, the proposition to end decriminalization for theft and drug crimes. You know how you've been able to just steal whatever you want under $1,000 and get away with it? Well, that is over, folks. 70% of Californians voted yes to end that nonsense. And think about that. Prop 36 was one of those policies that Kamala Harris refused to talk about on the campaign trail, scared to take a position on it either way. Meanwhile, 70% of Californians supported it. a common sense policy. Who wouldn't?
How did you vote on Prop 36?
So I have, my ballot is on its way to California, and I'm going to trust the system that it will arrive there. And I am not going to talk about the vote on that because, honestly, it's the Sunday before the election, and I don't intend to create an endorsement one way or another around it. So, but I did vote.
In another story, the Biden DOJ announced they are dropping all Trump's criminal charges, saying his cases are going away. They've begun to unwind them, telling NBC News yesterday they have begun the process of unwinding the two federal criminal cases against President-elect Trump before he takes office to comply with the longstanding department policy that a sitting president can't be prosecuted, and good riddance. But if you think this ends all the witch hunts and illegal lawfare that we've witnessed, think again. Wouldn't it be nice, though, if it did? Well, in response to the DOJ saying this and the spanking that Trump just gave Kamala Harris, depressed Democrats are starting to lose their freaking minds. Jen Rubin, Washington Post reporter, wrote on X yesterday, the idea that we have to try to understand how or why Trump won to prepare to fight him is a category error. It is 1933, people. Hitler is now in power. No time for effing seminars on Democrats' messaging errors. And no, Jen Rubin isn't some liberal arts major at Berkeley or something. She's an actual reporter at the Washington Post, writing for the Washington Post on a daily basis, openly talking about fighting the president-elect, how he's Hitler. So how are they planning on fighting him? Well, their plan to use Congress is now out the window. Some of them are fleeing the country, right? Michael Cohen, remember that guy? Trump's former attorney and turncoat. Remember how he claimed he was going to revoke his citizenship? Well, look, he got roasted yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. It's actually pretty funny. When I saw the clip, I was laughing out loud. Take a look at this.
No problem. Wow, genius you are. Can we stop with that? I appreciate it. I don't like the stupid turkeys. All right, let's just knock that stupid shit off, please. All right. I did. I said I was leaving. And then the following day, get that through your dumb heads. The following day, I turned around and I said that there's no chance in the world that I'm leaving my country. Thank you very much. All right. I'm not leaving anyway. You leave. This is my country. And I have every right, every single right within which to turn around, which we stop so we can. All right, 2 seconds, I'm going to end up blocking this idiot.
I had to play that one. When I saw it, I was laughing out loud. But seriously, how are they planning on fighting Trump now that they lost in Congress? Instead, they're turning to state AGs and governors to resist. The governors of all the largest blue states came out yesterday in scripted fashion announcing illegal aliens are safe in their states and that they won't let Trump deport even one illegal migrant. Roll the tape.
If the Trump administration requests it, would the Massachusetts state police assist in mass deportations?
No, absolutely not. But, you know, let me say this. I do think it's important that we all recognize that there's going to be a lot of pressure on states and state officials. And I can assure you, we're going to work really hard to deliver. Some realities also need to be, you know, noted. And that is in 2016, we had a very different situation in the courts. And while I'm sure there may be litigation ahead, you know, there's a lot of other ways that people are going to act and need to act for the sake of their states and their residents. There's regulatory authority and executive powers and the like. There's legislation also within our states. So I think that the key here is that, you know, every tool in the toolbox has got to be used to protect our citizens, to protect our residents and protect our states, and certainly to hold the line on democracy and the rule of law as a basic principle, right?
It gave me a chance to tie the Republicans running these seats, the incumbents, closer to Donald Trump, and remind everybody, if you're voting for these Republicans in New York, you are voting for someone who supports Donald Trump, and you're anti-woman, you're anti-abortion, and basically you're anti-American, because you have just trashed American values and what our country is all about over and over.
Intends to come take away the freedom and opportunity and dignity of Illinoisans. I would remind you that a happy warrior is still a warrior. You come for my people, you come through me.
We ultimately renounce the kind of bigotry, the kind of xenophobia that is front and center in discussions and debates like this. I thought the Attorney General was right about the Trump administration having issues with immigrants, but I think he could have been even more pointed, and forgive me, Mr. Attorney General, by saying he has a particular problem with brown people, not even immigrants.
Let it be known, Dems are nervous. They know they have limited options. Resorting to state power to fight Trump is like their last resort, and it's ironic since they constantly trash America's construction as a republic, saying we should wipe the slate clean and rebuild America as a true democracy. If America weren't a republic and Trump had won like this, these states would have no power at all to resist anything. And if you notice what everyone's making a huge stink about, it's immigration. Why are Dems so nervous about losing these 20 million illegal migrants? They just expended huge political capital to get them in here. They lost the election largely because of these immigration policies. They want to keep these 20 million people. They want to make them citizens as fast as possible. We know this. And what we're hearing is Trump's team already has their plan in place to fix this. No more Mr. Nice Guy placating both sides like he did last time. He is getting down to business. On Wednesday, Trump spoke to Mexico's new president when she called to congratulate him, and he reportedly told her, "It would go a long way with me if you can step in now and get these caravans to stop immediately." And she did. Mexico sent out the military yesterday, and they're already solving this problem. Watch.
Well, believe it or not, Grant, I said it before, you know, on the day of the elections, massive caravan, 3,000 people started walking. And just as people knowing on the 6th of November, the migrants and everybody started noticing that Donald Trump just became president. The Mexican authorities started acting and started going to this large group, trying to decrease the large group from continuing to walk on the north of the state of Chiapas to go in direction to the northern borders of Mexico with the United States. Started telling them, the migrants, if you continue to walk, you can have an accident, possibly, you know, you can dehydrate yourself, you know, go back and do your process correctly. The migrants started, you know, we started asking them, what are their thoughts of now Donald Trump winning the presidency and becoming the 47th president? They said that they are completely disappointed, that they were thinking that Kamala Harris was going to win, and now that it's going to be extremely difficult for them to enter the United States of America because they know that there's going to be a massive deportation.
All right, Oscar, let me get this straight. So Mexico now taking an active role in trying to discourage the caravans. This to me means that while Joe Biden was president and Kamala Harris, the border czar, they could have actively taken a role for the last 4 years and didn't. Is that a safe assessment?
Yes, it's a safe assessment. And I will tell you one thing, that Donald Trump loves this word, and it is called tariff. This is the reason why the Mexican authorities started acting. When he was president, he put a threat of a tariff of a 5% tariff in the automobile industry, avocado and beer. Now that he has, you know, he has taken power again, he said to the he sent a message to the new Mexican president, said, if you continue with this, I will put 25% tariffs on everything that you're sending to the United States. So
Donald Trump has done more in his first 2 days as president-elect than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the border czar, had done in the last 4 years on this issue. And he's not stopping with immigration. He already did a lot of stuff. Take a look at this. Greg Price says Donald Trump has been the president-elect for not even 2 days. So far, Steve Madden announced halting manufacturing in China by half in a year. Hamas calls for an end to the war in the Middle East. Iran's backed Houthis just announced a ceasefire, and Putin said he's ready to work toward peace. Look, there is so much happening, folks. This is what it looks like, though, when you have real leadership at the top. Things actually can get done. All right, that wraps up this episode. Like, subscribe. We'll see you next time.